Good morning, Boulevard.
Morning.
Give me 3 seconds to pull that off my face, but I can actually feel free up here. It's a pleasure to stand before you today. I do honor God, and I'm privileged to stand before you today. I do consider it an honor and a privilege. In Pastor Jeff's absence, Pastor Jeff, to me, is a very dynamic speaker and orator of the Word of God, and sometimes I just feel like I'm not even worthy to stand behind him, but I'm grateful. So many great men have stood at this desk, and I am grateful for the messages that are preached here at Boulevard. I don't know why I feel so like I need to just go into my tradition for 30 seconds, because I feel like we're very sleepy. but there's this song, as I look at what the scripture says for today, that we are drawing near to God. There's simply a song that says, draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Amen. That helped me a little bit, because I was like, what's happening up here? I felt like I just needed a little help. And today we're going to just talk about, let's look at the scripture real quick. It's Psalms 95, the heart of worship. The scripture reads, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. And let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years, I loathed that generation. Wow. And said, they are a people who go astray in their heart. And they have not known my ways. Therefore, I swore my wrath. They shall not enter my rest. And the word of the Lord is blessed. Let's pray before we move into this. God of heaven, I just pray for those in this congregation and on Zoom that the words that I speak today, they will be spirit and they will be life. Allow the word to fall on the good soil of our hearts, that we may bring forth the harvest that remains. It's in Jesus' name, amen. Just want to start off by saying that music plays such an important role in our lives as humans. That's why I needed to start off with a song. A lot of times I can't even speak until I sing. I don't know what that is about. You know, help me out later. Maybe it's some narcissistic behavior that I have. But I literally cannot, like, function until the right song is sung and, you know, I just get in a zone, right? We need music, whether we're participating in worship, listening to the radio on our drive in or from to work, or just celebratory events with family and friends, music can definitely impact our overall disposition, right? Today, some folk are celebrating birthdays. I know Lady Cindy is not with us, but she has a birthday today. I believe Alec has a birthday today. And no one ever has a birthday without singing the birthday song, right? And, you know, and if you're in the Black tradition, we actually do the remix. After we sing the traditional version, we got to go to the Stevie Wonder version and just make it all about, like, it is a really big deal. Music is a big deal. Really big deal, right? Research says that it improves our moods, right? Let's just do some study together. Studies show that listening to music can benefit overall well-being, help regulate emotions, create happiness and relaxation in everyday life. Studies show that music reduces stress. Listening to relaxing music has shown to reduce stress and anxiety in healthy people and in people undergoing medical procedures. Who knew that you needed to listen to music before surgery? But, you know, take that in mind if anybody have any surgeries coming up. It lessens anxiety. In studies, people with cancer listening to music combined with standard care reduce anxiety compared to those who receive standard treatment alone. It improves exercise. Studies show that music can enhance aerobic exercise, boost mental and physical stimulation, and increase overall performance. I really started a exercise routine in February. I turned 45. I was like, I can't just be 45, fat, and die. So let's start working out, right? And I do notice that when I work out, if I'm playing music, I can really get in the mood. It's harder to work out without music. And a lot of days I work out without music. But when you have the music, it just makes the overall experience much more enjoyable. It improves memory. Research has shown that the repetitive elements of rhythm and melody help our brains form patterns that enhance memory. And in a study of stroke survivors, listening to music helped them experience more verbal memory, less confusion, and better focused attention. It eases pain. Studies show that patients recovering from surgery, those who listened to music before, during, and after surgery, had less pain and overall satisfaction compared with patients who did not listen to music. All of us need to be listening to music whenever we go to the doctor, right? All right. It improves our comfort. I'm not going to belabor the point. Improves cognition. It even helps students, children with special needs. And this one hit me and struck me as a core because my wife and I, actually, our first child was born very premature. It soothes premature babies. Live music and lullabies may impact vital signs and improve feeding behaviors and all of these things to prolong the health of a child. So anyway, I started off by saying that music plays this vital part in our worship. Even at Boulevard, we have skilled musicians whose responsibility is to lead us in worship, primarily so that we can center ourselves and allow the word of God to fall on the good soil of our hearts. The music positions us or the worship position us to receive the word and be receptive of what God is calling us to do, right? Every time Louis goes forth, anytime any of the other leaders, Brent, in the past, Beth, I mean, all of them just struck me. It was just like, let's go. All right. When David plays, I mean, that's just something about David that I'm an ultimate fan. You know, I could never play strings, but when he gets on them, it just like sets the atmosphere, right? And so we want to look at the scriptural text together and learn together the heart of worship, because music helps us even get in the mood for worship. The scripture starts off by saying, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord, and let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully to him with songs." So the first commandment is, let us sing to the Lord. The psalmist first mentions honoring God with song and doing so in community. Singing is not the only way we can honor or worship God, but it is chief and it is important. And also importantly is the exhortation, let us seeing that it should be done with the community of God's people. And this is why here at Boulevard, as a congregation of believers, we sing together, sometimes all service long, right? Sometimes people get tired of it. I was trying to help my son, Michael, look at the words. He was like, no, I'm not singing. I'm like, I want you to sing. This is what we do, right? Because there's a pure joy in us singing together as a community of worshipers, right? Whether you are the best singer or whether you should serve as a greeter, it doesn't matter. When we sing together as worshipers, there's power in that. And then it said, let us shout joyfully. And sometimes when we get to church, we don't want to shout joyfully. But if anybody went to the New Edition concert at the United Center last night, I bet they were shouting joyfully, right? When you go see your favorite athletes perform at the pinnacle of their success, there's a lot of exuberance. But God wants that same energy when we come into the house of God. He should be honored with happy, enthusiastic, heartfelt praise. And there is a place for the somber, reflective mood in worship, but it should not be the dominant tone. God's people must learn how to shout joyfully unto the Lord, because he is the rock of our salvation. And this title of God points to the genuine depth in both thought and experience. Worship should not simply say things about God, but with thought and with a connection to what we have experienced and need to experience from him, right? So it's not just about the skilled musicians entertaining us. We're setting the atmosphere so that we can have communion and connection with our holy God. Think about how and when you came to faith. What is so critically special about God being the rock of your salvation? What does it mean to you and for you? In my tradition, when you ask a charismatic Pentecostal Christian to think about God as their Savior, the church erupts in exuberant praise. You can't ask Pentecostal folk to think about Jesus saving you. I mean, we go bananas, right? We completely lose it because we are absolutely thankful for what God has done in saving us from ourselves, from the devil, from hell, whatever he saved us from. Like, we just get excited about God saving us. Let us come into his presence. This means that worship should be done with a conscious sense of God's presence. We as God's people don't sing into an empty space. I know James mentioned about someone struggling with the presence of God, right? Sometimes some people may feel like he's an absent landlord. But we here at Boulevard, we know that he's more than just a landlord, right? And so God's people don't sing into an empty space. He is in our presence and we are in his presence. And there is and there should be a true connection between God and his people. So the Bible talks about the presence of God being fullness of joy, right? And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. When we get into the presence of God, there should be a peace. There should be a joy. There should be a level of calmness. There should be happiness. If we're in the presence of God and we're still mean as a rattlesnake and angry and cantankerous, I question the God that you were in the presence of, but I don't have time to stay there, right? But with thanksgiving, our worship should express a heart of thanksgiving to our God who has done so much for us. And so we shout joyfully to him with psalms. This is what the psalmist himself intended with this psalm. We can also surmise that he turned the attention of God's people to a broader collection of psalms as a source of inspiration for worship. Think about it. Many Christian denominations open their services with the reading of psalms. We did it today. We do it many Sundays here at Boulevard. The psalms capture the essence of praise and worship, not only in the congregation, but in our private lives as well. So why do we worship God? For the Lord is a great God, and the great king above all gods. And in his hands are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. And the sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. So let's look at this a little bit deeper. For the Lord is a great God. Understanding the greatness of God helps us properly worship him. Mostly everyone has some sense of awe, appreciation, or greatness when the presence of someone the culture regards as great. For some people, it's an athlete. For some people, it's your favorite singer. It could be a model. It can be the president. It can be whoever. When we walk into a room and we deem they are great, there's a sense of greatness, right? I think about this, and I'm going to mess with the Schultons for a minute. They were so gracious to host a promotion party for me back over the summer, right? And every one of my colleagues, and if you've ever been to the Schultons' home, and many of you should have been because we worshiped there for like 6 months. But anyway. I digress. Let me bring it back. Let me tell my story. But, you know, but every one of my colleagues who attended this promotion party still talk about the awe and the reverence and the beauty and the elegance that the Schultons hosted, right? And there's a sense of awe. They're like, well, tell us when the next shindig is happening at the show. Like, you got to be at the place where, like, I want to be in the presence of greatness, right? Right? And they are great here at Boulevard for so many other reasons, but their hospitality makes them even greater. And so we love them for that, right? But that's just a tangible human experience, right? We all have somebody. If you're married in this place, you should feel that way about your spouse. Just their presence in the room should not cause you to be cantankerous. I'm sorry, honey, if I was. But anyway, it should cause you to be like full of life and energy and enthusiasm. But this is more importantly for God. This is natural, right? These are the natural. But think about even more natural and appropriate for us to deeply regard Yahweh as the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. One way God's greatness is illustrated by his mastery over creation. From the lowest valley to the highest hills, from the sea to the dry land, his hand has formed it. The sea is his, for he made it. I was thinking about my trip to Puerto Rico back in January, and at one point sitting on the ocean, right? And that was my first time, I think, on the ocean. And so I could not even fathom, like, the awesomeness of God, right? You get tired and bored here in Chicago with this flat, swampy land that we've covered up. And, you know, the lake is nice when you go to certain parts of the lakefront, but you got to go to certain parts and experience that beauty. But when you step outside of your norm, right, to really see what God has formed and made. Sometimes I travel to Galena, Illinois, just for that peace. And it brings me into this awe of God. Look at what God has done. It is marvelous in our eyes, and it should be. So we're given this invitation to worship, right? To come, let us worship, let us bow down, let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. There is a sweet sense of emphasis in these words. There is a gentle plea here, exhorting the readers to do what is right before God, which is also good for them, for you and for me, right? Let us worship. Let us bow down. The ideas of community, let us worship, are repeated earlier in the psalm and with an added sense of humility. Bow down. I'm not big enough. I am not worthy to stand before you and preach. It is the finished work of Jesus Christ through me that allows me to stand before you. And if I forget that, woe is me. If I ever think it's because I'm so intellectual or I am so great or I sing so well, I know 50 people that can outsing me any day. We always have to keep a position of humility when it comes to God because we just don't measure up. And it's okay. We don't have to have low self-esteem about it. In fact, our esteem can be built high when we look at what he has done for us. And so the thought is emphasized and given more intensity through the repetition. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. In previous verses, the psalmist spoke of God's mastery over all creation. Now he includes the humanity itself amongst God's creation. And we owe humble worship to God because he has made us. One psalm says, he has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Worship is an obligation that we the creature, owe to the creator. This is not optional, Boulevard. This is not if we feel like it. We owe God worship. We go owe God worship in everything that we do, right? And we have to understand that God is concerned about our worship even when we're thinking we're having a beer and a good time. He's concerned even about those celebratory moments that may not necessarily focus on the awesomeness of who God is. But in every aspect of our lives, he made us, he want the worship back from us. For he is our God, and we are his people, right? He is worthy of all humble worship because he is our God. The ancient Hebrew had something of a choice of gods, right? And it was a deliberate act of allegiance to say, Yahweh is my God. We can look back at the Old Testament and see the struggles of the people always trying to figure out God for themselves, and people want to resurrect the golden calf or resurrect some other idols. But here, the scripture is trying to remind us who the real, true God is. And guess what? We are the sheep of his hand, which we are under his special care and conduct. And that is why he wants to protect our worship. And he warns us further down, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here with the warning, but you heard the warning. It says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in Meribah, as on the day of Massah in the wilderness. Let's take a look at this for a moment, what this psalm is saying, right? Here it is. God walked with the children of Israel. He demonstrated miracle after miracle after miracle in their presence. He fed them straight from heaven, gave them resources straight from heaven. They saw the Red Sea parting. But yet and still, they murmured and complained. Their hearts were far from God. And he said, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. And I have a question for us, and I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself. The question is for us. That's why I said us, not just you and me. Us, right? Have we seen the hand of God and hardened our hearts? Have we seen the miracles in our lives? Every day I wake up and I see my son breathing. That's a walking miracle, right? A doctor told us when he was not even a year old that, you know, he's going to die from this. And he turned 14 last week. So, hey, 14 years. I'm looking at the miracle of God. Do I harden my heart just because these other things are not working well in our life? Sickness or disease or, you know, flooded basements or whatever. Like, do I harden my heart because all of these things are happening in my life? We have to be careful. The scripture says, for 40 years, I loathed that generation. Do we want to be in the position where God says, I loathe you? That's deep, right? But the beautiful thing about it, he doesn't leave us in this place, right? He tells us to come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, because my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And he's admonishing us today, right? Just like we saw the miracle. If we go back and Becky read the scripture about the first miracle Jesus performed, right? At a wedding celebration, right? He wasn't, he said, my time has not come. But his mother said, do whatever he tells you to do, right? And we see a miracle take place. And from what I read, they partied all night long and for a few days afterwards too. The party just went on and on and on. We see the miracles of God, but yet because of life circumstances, we turn our heart far from God. But worship brings us back to God. Worship equips us with the tools that we need to sit in his presence and reflect on our own flawed humanity and reflect on the fact that we need a risen Savior. And we have a risen Savior today. This is all about what we're talking about as we enter the Lenten season, right? This is all about understanding that in a few weeks, we're going to celebrate the risen Savior. We're going to celebrate that he didn't just stay hung on a cross and that he didn't just get pierced in his side and they didn't just lay him in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, he arose with all power in his hand, and he is sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and me. Even now, he is pleading our cause before a holy God. And this is what we hold on to, Boulevard. Hold on to the fact that worship gets us into a place of serenity and peace so we can find out who God really is. And we know that the word of the Lord is blessed in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.